But Mark actually gave up his Saturday night to play and have fun, and it was great and it was good. What? He scored some points. They got closer. They had fun. God honors that, and God blessed that, and he went away happy. They entertained themselves. He just gave them a forum. And when you and I walk with God and live for God and love God, other people will say, what is it about them? I led a girl to the Lord about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was worried whether she got saved or not because I wasn't sure. It was a rush kind of situation. She only had a little bit of time. Linda and I had her over for dinner or for lunch, and she had to go back to work, shared the Lord with her, and ultimately we're wondering, was that too quick? Did she really get it? I went to see her this past week because I wanted to make sure, touch base with her. And she said, I've been reading your book. And it was that book on all the sermons. You've been reading all the sermons. I said, praise God. We scored some points. Beloved, somebody. Somebody just might listen and know this. Godly and honest. It's not about wrangling and jangling and going off about all the issues. It's about loving Jesus and praying that God will give you a good forum and a good platform of life. And he says in this passage that he wants, he says that God wants, verse 4, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. By the way, that's a repetition of the same thing. You get saved by coming to the knowledge of the truth. Not just knowing about God, it's knowing Him. It's not about believing in God, it's about believing Him. You cannot have faith if you don't know what God has said. You can't have it. You can't know you're going to heaven forever unless you know God promises it. You say, well, I got all these good promises tell me God will never cast me out. That's good. But do you have the ones that talk about chastisement? Do you have the one that talk about if you don't walk with God, you're going to have a certain fearful looking for, a fiery indignation, a judgment? Do you have the true promises of God that says you might even come to the place where you fear that you might be lost because you've forgotten that you were saved in the first place? God says He will spank His children. Whom the Lord loves, He will chastise. What I'm saying is behavior follows real belief. You see, you can say I'm a Christian all you want, but don't forget that the Bible says they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. The Bible says they were called Christians. Would somebody call you a Christian? This passage tells us that God wants everybody to be saved. That just puts the end to all of the foolishness in the doctrine of election that says some are ordained to be damned. Rain on that, man. We got a job to do, a battle to fight. Amen? And the Bible tells us in this passage that there's a battle to fight, and it says that God wants all men to be saved, and the Bible says He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth, and I've entered into that third point, which is the program of God. What's God about? God's about soul winning. God's about winning somebody else to Jesus. God's about that, and He wants some people who are serviceable, people He can take by the hand and put them in a particular place. God wants people who have a godly, righteous life so that when they speak, people can hear them. You know, I used to know people who would sit and share the gospel smoking a cigarette and living outside of the fellowship of a local church. They thought that they were good because they knew the gospel. The reality is that that was more detrimental to the person they were sharing with because they were telling them, you can be saved and not change in your life. Now, beloved, we can't live like that. You've got to have a life that follows through with what you believe. The Bible says with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Don't soothe yourself with promises that are taken out of context like a cult. You got to have the whole counsel of God. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. The Bible says in this passage, God wants all men to be saved. He's looking for some people who are kalos, beautiful, or attractive. And He's looking for people who have, in fact, got a life that He can get a hold of and use for His glory. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it will fall into the ground and die, it will bring forth much fruit. God wants wheat to bring forth more wheat. He wants you to bring more people to Christ. The passage goes on to say, for there is one God. This is the dogma that we preach. In that day there was polytheism. In our day there's pluralism. 34 ways to be born again today. To get to heaven. That's pluralism. I've been studying doctrines of things as close to us as Lutheranism and Methodism through the years. And I'll tell you something, the doctrines are scary. I mean, I thought they were closer than they are, and the more I looked, the more I began to realize there's a dogmatism in some of those religions that tell you can lose your salvation, that tell you get saved by being baptized as a baby, that tell you that you cannot make any choice on your own, that God has to do it all, give you faith, because you can't make a decision. I'm talking about some weird stuff, but what I'm saying is, In that day, they had polytheism. In our day, we have pluralism. And because we have pluralism, we think we shouldn't say anything's wrong with anybody else. And the Bible says there is one God. The same Bible that says there is one God tells us that there is one way. Jesus is the way. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. The Bible says there is one God. Look at this. And one mediator between God and men. There are those who say you have to go to a priest. There are no more priests, save only the believer priests, who offer the sacrifices of rejoicing and praise to our God. God has ordained you as priests unto Him. You are the priests of God. There are no priests that stand between you and God. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. It's Christ. And there is a will worship that goes on and tells us things like this. It tells us, well, you know, God, Jesus is so mean, you got to go to His mama Mary and she'll beseech the heart of Jesus. You know what? I've seen mamas that don't love their kids as much as they should, and therefore I can't take a chance on a mama's heart. I got to go to the one that said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus said, come therefore boldly to the throne of grace, that you might receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. You can come right to Jesus. You don't need to go through a icon, a saint, or the Virgin Mary. You go to Jesus Himself. The passage goes on to say, it says in verse 5, it says, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He wants you and me to be testifying. He wants you to do it in a timely manner. There's times you can talk about Christ, and there's times that you can't. Sometimes I'll go over there and I'll visit Bud's shop. Man, he's got people coming and going and things going on, and he never fails. He got his new shop open. I got my name up on his wall. So on the dollar bill, I got the first dollar spent at his shop. So he put my name up there. So I'm somebody in the community now. But Bud is always willing to talk, but there's time I can't just sit down and say, Bud, let's talk about God, because he's got business to do. That's not due time. Due time is when there's a time around when nothing's going on, things are quiet and calm. You got to be circumspect, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to be realizing we're sheep among wolves. This world will eat you up, spit you out. But the Bible says God wants the fact that Jesus gave Himself a ransom to be testified to. It's part of having a quiet, a focused life. It's part of having a peaceable, which is a stable life. You pray for the kings so that we can have that. Now, I got to move past the rest of it, because that's God's program. And what I want you to realize is that godly people know God's program. What we have today is we have a mess going on. Our country is deteriorating. It's coming unglued. It's coming apart at the seams. We are championing everything from transgenderism and homosexuality to cohabitation, which we used to call shacking up, but the Bible calls fornication. We live in a day where everything is okay, you're okay, I'm okay, and God forbid I say anything bad about it. Well, the Bible says it was for that reason that God vomited the Canaanites out of the land in the Old Testament. The land vomited them out. You know what they were doing in Cana? Back in Canaan land, what they did before the Jews went in there and wiped it out under God's command? They were doing everything from bestiality to homosexuality to incest. They were doing abortions, which were post-birth abortions, because they were taking immorally conceived babies and they were offering them up to fire to Molech. They would take these babies from their licentious lifestyle and they would put them in fire and burn them up, thinking if the gods loved us, you know, enough to let us have all of this hoopla called prostitutes that were called priestesses and prostitutes called priests, that you would go in and worship, do your worship through all this licentious behavior, babies would be conceived. And then they'd think, well, I don't know what to do with this. My husband will never take this baby. And the priestess would say, well, I don't know what to do. I know what we'll do. We'll turn around and we'll take the offspring and we'll offer it to the gods. And they would kill them, burn them to death. And he said they were offering him to the fire. Beloved, we're killing our babies today in abortion in this country. And in my mind, that's the most insidious part of our entire world right now, that the blood of the babies, innocents in our world, are not being protected, because the world tells us that it's okay to do whatever you want. Don't you judge me. I'll do with my body what I want to do. So we abort babies. We got doctors with medical degrees who are standing there saying, come on in here, sit on this table, and I'll take care of that thing. And the blood of the babies is screaming out of the ground. And that is the most insidious thing. You want to make your pocketbook kind of get healthy? It's going through a rough patch right now. You worried about your job? I want you to know something. You cannot get more money in your pocketbook by voting for somebody who says they're going to give you it. You get more money by going to God and you say, God, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. I just need you to take over. And he'll say, well, first of all, get rid of a few things you don't need and don't deserve and shouldn't be having because it's too expensive and you're in debt. Get that gone. And he says, what I want you to do is I want you to trust me. It might be a little lean for a while, but I know the sparrow. But if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I will add everything you need unto you and you'll have need of nothing. You want somebody to provide for you? Don't look to a politician. Look for the potentate named Jesus Christ who's sitting on the throne. Now, how do you get his favor? By doing right. He has shown you, old man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of you, but to live justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Instead of saying, I can make all my own decisions, you begin to vote, you begin to live, you begin to look for and pray for God's will on this earth as it is in heaven, which is right there in the middle of that Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth. God doesn't want babies to be killed. Why are babies being killed? Because people are living in sin. And because we have fornication going on in mass doses, and the right thing to do in that lifestyle is go ahead and kill it. Because there don't want to be a single mom. Some people inverted that on its head because they said, well, if I have four or five more kids, I'll get more money from the government. We live in a day that's out of control, and the only way is to go after the root. The root is the ground is crying out. And I want to tell you, folks, find out where people in your electorate are standing on abortion, and you're pretty much going to find out where they stand on all the other moral issues. Gay marriage, giving money to everybody who doesn't really have a work or job. The Bible says if you don't work, don't eat. But what I want you to see is this, and I'll close with this. You can write down Leviticus chapter 18, by the way. The entire chapter is all about what the Bible says that the land vomited them out because of the things that they did, and all those things I mentioned were there. But this is what President Abraham Lincoln says. This is right on his monument, and it's taken out of his second inaugural address. In other words, we got the Civil War going on. We got President Lincoln who's standing up to give his inauguration address. And he doesn't hold any punches. I mean, the world is in a war at that time. Civil war. More men died in the Civil War than all the other wars, as I understand it, that put together. And yet, here was a president who had his finger on the pulse of Almighty God, and this is what he said. His inaugural address. This is just an excerpt. He says, fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the slave traders 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn by the lash on the slave's back shall be paid by another drawn by the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so let it must be said today, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Here's a guy going into office saying, if we have to bleed to pay back the blood we shed of slaves because of our blood guiltiness as a country, if we have to die on the battlefield in droves to pay back what we have shed, he said, the judgments of the Lord are righteous. Kenny, what was it? 4,000 a day? 4,000 babies are aborted in this country every day on average. 4,000. Oh, but I want my check! Really? At what price? Oh, but I want my money! Oh, really? At what? I want my freedom! At what price? I want to do what I want to do! At what price? Do you think God is going to look the other way? Do you think He's going to wink at this and say, it's okay, it's just America? Folks, this country's in trouble financially right now. And what I want you to understand is you can't go after the head, you have to go after the root. And that means God's people need to become the conscience of a country. We need to be the church again, and we need to begin to say what is true. I had the privilege of leading a gal to Christ in Cleveland. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and I don't agree with everything Rush Limbaugh says, but I was listening to him in the midst of all of my union brothers. And they would say, you listening to that idiot? Because they're all about the paycheck. And they think somehow being a certain party is going to get them what they want. This girl actually asked me some questions about it, and I told her, you know what, it's really about this. It's not about, I don't believe it's about us trying to fix it by taking it by the horns. I think it's about, you know, God, getting God's favor back in this country. And we need to stop, you know, thumbing our nose at God. You know, when our boys were over in Iraq, they took the Ten Commandments down in North Carolina and they put them in a closet and locked the door. They took them off the walls. So we throw our boys out there in harm's way and we put God in the closet and say, don't say that anymore. What I'm saying is this gal, because I began to tell her, well, you know, I think it's more about this, and make my position known, not argument. I just said, yeah, I believe God's looking at all this and he's saying we're in trouble. And, you know, Rush talks about being pro-life and I'm for that. I said, I just think there needs to be another voice in the midst of things. She said, really, I need to hear more about that. And I got the privilege of leading that girl to the Lord. Came to find out later her last name had the word Stein in it, and I believe she was a Jewish girl. So, guess what? We got to score some points. She got saved right there in Wendy. Bowed her head and trusted Jesus. Got saved. Beloved, God wants you to be about His program. He gives you a battle to fight. And if you focus on the right thing, you will never want for the joy of the Lord and the blessing and smile of God as you're out there performing and breaking through the line and dragging a soul out of the depths of despair with a word that is true, yes and amen. Beloved, you and I need to start straightening up because it's not about our pleasure. It's about God's program. Our pleasure is later. Yes, godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come, but we're all about this life. And in this new election, you go look at that voter's guide. Find out where they are on abortion. Find out where they are on pro-marriage amendments. Find out where they are on issues that have to do with work ethic, what they have to do with self-preservation.